In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 23, November 6th, 1927. And Jesus says to Louisa, you must know this. And if you haven't read the You Must Know book, throughout the 36 volumes, this is every time Jesus says to Louisa, you must know this. To understand the divine will, there's certain things that are required. So to really begin to understand the depth of this doctrine of the divine will, it becomes everything becomes alive. So he says, you must know that every time your Jesus decides to manifest a truth to you, Louisa. So every page on the book, in the book of heaven, every sentence, every word that Jesus is speaking, he's revealing a divine truth that helps us understand why we're alive and what is going on in the world today. He's explaining to us from Jesus's perspective. So the three powers that God has given us, our intellect, memory, and will, have to be changed because we're in a fallen nature, even though we've been redeemed. Jesus and Mary came to earth to bring back this universal life, this Catholic life to humanity. And even though we've been redeemed, we're still under the thumb of the evil one, because this is his realm. The earth is his realm. Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. So because Adam listened to Lucifer, not to Jesus, not to God, that word that was spoken to him, do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. You can have everything in the garden but that. Since Adam was disobedient in that, he was obedient to the evil one, and this is where we had to be for the last 6,000 years, but those 6,000 years have come to an end. Remember, it's very, very clear what Pope Leo XIII heard when he heard the devil say to Jesus, give me 100 more years. He knew his time was coming to an end. And that was in 1884. 100 years later, in 1984, was when John Paul II made that consecration to the world. And I thought at that point, the 100 years is over. But the 100 years really began 33 years after that vision that Pope Leo XIII had in 1917. And so 100 years from that is 2017. And as you can see, everything is speeding up. Everything is falling apart, it looks like. But what God is doing, he's getting everything ready. So these truths that Jesus has manifested to Louisa is to help us get through this time. This time is the most difficult time. We see it in our families and our friends, with our neighbors. We see it in what's happening in the church, what's happening in our nation, what's happening in the world. Everything seems to be at a rush for destruction. This life that we're in, this time that we're in is really a beginning of a new era. And this new era is basically not of God. God is giving to the devil what he wants. Here's your time. You know, he's giving him overtime, and the kingdom is coming. So to get ready for what we're going to go through, and, you know, we've just heard this most recently with the little girl from Mexico who Luisa appeared to, that to get through the illumination of conscience that's coming, to get through it, Luisa recommended to this little girl that read the divine will, enter into the divine will. See, the book of heaven is going to help us get through this illumination of conscience. It's going to help us understand what God is asking of us. It's in black and white as you read. It's very, very clear what God is asking. He's asking us to return back to paradise, to return back to that time of being in God's image and likeness. The time of the evil one is come to an end. And Our Lady said that to Bruno in 1947. Time has now come to an end, and it's not the end of the world, it's the end of the era of the evil one. So Jesus says, you have to know this, that every time Jesus gives us this manifestation of a truth, of a lesson that he gives us, of an understanding of the divine will, he says, my love is so great that I bilocate my very life in each truth that I manifest to you, Louisa. And every truth that we read, God is bilocating into us his very divine life. So as you read, your family is changing. Now, I know so many people who've raised beautiful families, and the children don't want God. The children don't want the church. Families who've really raised their children in the faith, so many of the children want nothing of this, of what the church has been teaching for the last 2,000 years. And so what Jesus is showing us is that it's not our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents that he gave this gift to, the gift of the divine will, but to us. It's not to the children. It's to us. And he's expecting from us this repairing, this redoing of everything and everyone in the divine will. This repairing and redoing is what we pray throughout the day in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's to get everyone ready. Jesus says the human will is so strong that the human will not respond, cannot respond to this divine will at this time. People are stuck in their ways. They believe what they want, and God is far from many, many people at this point. So Jesus is saying, would you do this for them? He says this to Louisa. Would you repair their life? Because they can't at this point. They've been so, if you want to say, hypnotized or mesmerized by the things of this world, the discipline of this world, that they can't, their intellect can't begin to embrace this divine understanding at this point. So would you do it? So Jesus says, every time I manifest this truth, this lesson to you, Louisa, and to those who read it, he says, I manifest this love is so great that I bilocate my very life in each word that I speak. And this is why as we read, everything changes. I know some people that begin to read and they say, oh, I'm living in the divine will. This is what God wants. And it's no, it's just the beginning. It's just there's such beauty. There's such depth that for all eternity, we're going to enter, dive into this infinite ocean of love, of light, of life that, it's not this fallen nature, even though we've been redeemed. It's now to be sanctified. And so when we get glimpses of this, we think, wow, I've changed. Yes, it's the beginning. And what Jesus tells us is when you desire to live in the divine will, your first desire is to have Jesus as your king, the king of your heart. He is the Lord of your heart. He's the master of your heart. And every act that you do in the divine will, Jesus says, is another molecule that's added to this life of Jesus. So he says that in time, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, as these molecules of our acts, if you want to say, are added to this true life of Jesus in us, then he can begin to gaze in our gazing and listen in our listening and speak in our speaking, beat in our heart beating, breathe in our breathing. but we're so fallen that it's very far from us. It's here, but it's very far from us. The fullness is not yet here yet. Why? Jesus says, when I find the souls that want the divine will, more than anything, I will give it to the world. And he hasn't found anybody yet because it's Luisa possesses it. So he says, this life that I breathe into Luisa, he says to Luisa, your life is the destiny of the world. Where she, what God has given to her, is what Adam lost. The new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, breathe this abundant life into Luisa. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of this new and divine way of holiness. So he says, I bilocate my very life in each truth that I manifest to you. Each truth that we read, it's the beginning. And we have learning how to live in the divine will, doing our acts and our rounds. Again, praying the rounds is what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, this life of heaven. So he says, so each truth might have the power, because it's his very divine life, to form a divine life in humanity, in each person who reads, each person who studies, each person who we're repairing for. I this one person called a couple of weeks ago and said that they feel they've lost their child to the world. And no, you just keep on praying. You keep on praying, you keep on repairing, you keep on redoing. God is going to take care of it. You can't. You're not God. The Savior has to do this. Our Master, our King, our Lord, our Queen, our Mother, this new life, this new and abundant life, which goes beyond the image and likeness that God breathed into Adam. Because Jesus says to Luisa, Adam didn't have Jesus as his Adam. He didn't have Mary as his Eve. So he failed, and this is where we've been. But God is going to win. God is going to, this war that we're in, this battle that we're in, God is going to bring about a new and divine way of holiness for each and every person. So he says, the truth that I give you when you're reading is my very divine life. I want this very divine life, this truth that I breathe into you, to have the power to form, Jesus says, my divine life, my mother's divine life in humanity, to go back even more than what God gave to Adam. So he says, see then, this, he says, you must know this. See then what it means to manifest one truth to you, Luisa, one truth less or one truth more. So what does that mean? The more that we read, how much more God is giving to us. Like I've told you about my friend who has the books of the divine will on his desk, and there's dust on them. One truth less. You have to understand Jesus speaking, one truth more, one truth less, what it does to the soul. He says, it's to put out a divine will at risk. It's to put it in danger, because if it is not known, if it is not loved, if this word that Jesus speaks is not appreciated in the book of heaven, it is a divine life that does not receive its fruit. Be fruitful and multiply. It wasn't just about children. It was about every thought, every word, every deed that we do. God wants to see a divine life in it. That's what he saw in Adam. He breathed into Adam the image and likeness of God, and whatever Adam thought, said, and did was the manifestation of God within Adam. So he says, what he's now doing is he can't breathe into us as he breathed into Adam. Adam was just infinite dust. He could fill Adam as much as he wanted, and then formed Adam. He says, we are already formed. So he says, the way I'm going to do this is every word that I speak to you, the word of God speaking these words to us, how these words have divine life, that he bilocates divine life in us, that he forms divine life in us. He says, so therefore, if you're reading, He says, and this, you're knowing this, you're loving this, you're appreciating this. If you are really reading and studying, he says, you're producing fruit in every thought, every word, every deed. It's that life of God, manifesting in the souls and the divine will. And he says, if it is not known, not loved, not appreciated, it's a divine life that does not receive its fruit. And if it does not receive the honors, the glory that befits each thought, each word, each deed done with God. See, the angels, when the angels appear to us, they bow in reverence. Why? Why do they bow in reverence? Because they see the triune God within us. We are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says, go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. And when the angels come to us, the first thing they do is they bow in reverence to the Holy Trinity within. And what we're seeing with Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling is this ultimate gift of manifesting my soul. She says, manifests the Lord. She manifests the triune God within, the Our Lady, the divine indwelling. That's what God has planned for us. This divine indwelling, where every heartbeat is an I love you, an honor, a glory to God, because He Jesus beat in my heart beating, Jesus breathe in my breathing, Jesus dance in my dancing, Jesus sing in my singing. It's this fruit of God in us that's being manifested. That soul, my soul manifests the Lord, has to become our prayer as well. Our Lady prays it, but it has to become ours as well. We have to die to everything that is human to begin to live in the divine. That's why Jesus says, if you're saving your life, you're going to lose it. You have to, your human will cannot be in charge anymore. That's not what God planned for the human will. The human will was for God. The universe is for man. So Jesus says that if you know this, if you love this, these truths that Jesus is manifesting to you, if you appreciate these truths, this divine life is bearing fruit in you for every thought, every word, every deed. And therefore it's receiving the honor, the glory, the praise to our Heavenly Father that He is reigning in us. This is why Jesus says, I gave Holy Communion to my church so that we can begin to practice adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him, being in communion with God. And this is why, this 15 minutes after Holy Mass is a time of great prayer. It's a time of falling in love with God. It's a time to discipline ourselves to be waiting for God, looking at God, especially, you know, if we have Eucharistic adoration in the monstrance, we're falling in love with God, because He says the communion that we're going to have in the kingdom is a perennial communion that Adam had, where we will talk with God in the cool of the evening, never, never to be separated from God. Think of Enoch. He was so in love with God and that he walked into paradise with God. It's this new and divine way of holiness is being offered to us. So Jesus says, this is why I, Jesus, love so much the truths that I've manifested to you, Louisa, in the Book of Heaven. He's so happy that there will be souls who will read this. There will be souls who will be able to receive this divine life of the that's being manifested in each truth that Jesus is speaking. He says, because it is my life that runs within those souls, and I greatly love that these truths become known. So what has Jesus done? I mean, again, there's many, many books. There's many television programs. There's many movies. Jesus says, this is the Book of Heaven. And as you dive into this book of heaven, as you begin to read it and study it, he says, my divine life is being given to you. These truths that I manifested to you are now, my life is running within you. And I greatly love that more truths be known, more truth be loved. So if you look at Louisa, the pictures of Louisa, she always has the book of heaven near her. She's either reading it or she's meditating on it. She's meditating on these truths. Why? To let this divine life run within her. There's many, many books out there. I mean, you can't believe how many people have said to me, oh, this is a great book. And I go, it cannot change your life. You might learn something. But Jesus is the only book that will transform a life is the divine will. And so God is testing us. What do you want? You want to be good? You want to be holy? You want to be saintly? Is this what you want? God will give, I'll give that to you. I remember this one lady in our prayer group, she would say to me, she was in the prayer group for 12 years. And she's every week, she'd say, what will we do without you, Father? And I said, you become a great saint, but you won't live in the divine will. And finally what happened was the person left and said, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And at the end of her life, she said, I think I made a big mistake. The thing that's important is this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. If you want to become a saint, I say that to people. I don't know how many times. Oh, I love the devotion to St. Teresa of Lisieux. I love the Ignatius retreats. And I said, well, that's good. That's holy. That's saintly. Jesus wants you to enter into the divine. We have to be that drop of water that enters into the cup filled with wine that the priest says every day, may we share in the divinity of Christ. It's not water and oil. It's not going to be separated. The water becomes wine. Jesus is saying to us, I want you to share in my divinity. That's 100%. Catholic, you know, you can't be partially Catholic. I know there's a lot of people that are baptized, but that's as far as they go for being Catholic. That's not Catholic. You know, it's the beginning. But what Jesus is asking of us is he's asking us to let my love, with these truths that I'm manifesting to you, let my life, my love become my life that runs within you. And I greatly love that you learn these truths more and more and more, that they become your life. Jesus becomes our life. Mary becomes our life. This is the new Adam and the new Eve that breathed this into Louisa. And then Jesus says, how different is my operating from that of creatures? If they speak, if they teach, if they operate, they do not leave their life in the word, in the work, and therefore they do not grieve too much if their words and their works do not obtain their fruits. It's no big deal. On the other hand, Jesus says, I grieve very, very much because it is my life that I make run in what I, God, manifest. And he grieves that we're not participating in this divine life of Jesus, of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So what has Jesus done in this time? He's getting us ready for the kingdom. And he says, here's the book of how and why this is going to happen. And the book is just a map. It's showing us where we're going. And the more that we read, the more we enter into this. For example, when Jesus says, I want you to tour the apartments that are in the New Jerusalem. I want you to go through all the apartments every day. I want you to see what I have manifested in these truths. This is not of earth. It's of heaven. That's why when you read about Louisa, those who talk about Louisa, they're always saying this is a celestial creature. Father Bucci would say that when you looked into Louisa's eyes, he said that what you would see is heaven. When you look into Louisa's eyes, there was heaven. It's like this DNA, if you want to say, of Jesus and Mary was breathed into Louisa. And when we go to Louisa, it's not to go to Louisa completely. It's that we can then get to this life of Jesus and Mary, this beginning of this life of the new Adam of the new Eve. So this is what God is waiting for. He's really, really waiting for us to surrender, to say to the libraries, they're great books. They're saintly books. They're wonderful books. But my life is the book of heaven. And we have to get to that point where, because what will happen is your human, that human part of you will want to learn more humanly. The human wants to be alive. Jesus wants the divine to be alive in us. And this is why a lot of people at their point of death, they're scared to death because they've never learned anything about heaven. They've never learned anything about the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And now they're at that point of entering into eternity, and they have no idea. They have no idea. So Jesus is showing us how to get ready for heaven, how to live heaven on earth now, this practice of living heaven on earth now. How? By listening to the truths, the lessons, the manifestations that Jesus has breathed into Louisa. And as we become accustomed to this language of heaven, as we become accustomed to the divine realities, first with our intellect, then with our memory. Our memory has to be of Jesus and Mary, not of me, not of my family, not of what we have accomplished, reading books, but what Jesus is doing in us now. See, it's become known, loved, and appreciated, this divine life becomes alive in us. He says, the truths that I manifest become my life in the soul. He says, I grieve very much because when I see souls who are saying they're living in the divine will, who are not reading, not dying to their ego and their will. He says, basically, this grieves him very, very much. So we're going to stop grieving Jesus. We've got to listen to him. And the book of heaven, it's called the book of heaven. This is the title Jesus gave the book of heaven. And he needs us to cooperate. So in volume 23, November 27th, 1927. But when the queen of heaven came, she possessed the fullness of the divine life. So here, the Immaculate Conception possessed the fullness of divine life. Theotokos, the mother of God. Everything Our Lady asked for the good of humanity, moved God, conquered God, made God decide, in spite of the evils that were present in humanity, the eternal Word came to earth through Our Lady, by means of Our Lady, who already possessed Jesus. And as he formed the whole of her life, he now then was born of her, born of woman. Born of Our Lady. When Adam looked at Eve, he says, here, woman, here is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, blood of my blood, basically. When Jesus was on the cross, he says, woman, I am flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, blood of your blood. It's the fullness that has come about. So Jesus says this, in spite of all the evils that were present, Our Lady moved God for the good of humanity, made God decide in spite of all the evils that the human will produces. The eternal word came upon earth by means of Our Lady, who already possessed her. Remember, Our Lady, the greatest image of Our Lady is Our Lady of the divine indwelling. This is the greatest image, the divine Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwelling. That's why when she appeared to Bruno, she said to Bruno, I am the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. When people say to me that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and I said, where's Our Lady? And you're like, oh, we don't need Our Lady. We have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's mere human understanding. So Jesus is saying this. He says, Our Lady, who possessed him already, gave birth to him, because he, Jesus, formed her whole life. So the fullness of the divine life, Our Lady was able to move God. So God came for the good of redemption. God came to bring redemption to humanity. Okay. How many times have you said, Jesus redeemed us. Why are we still in this misery? Because we're not sanctified yet. Sanctification is coming. And that's why he gave us the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. Breathe in this dust, this divine life, as it is in heaven. That's what the book of heaven is showing us, how God is doing this and why God is doing this. But we have to get out of the way for God to do this. We have to be Our Lady, like Our Lady. She surrendered. She was submissive. She was docile to the Holy Spirit. She was able to move God. So came the good of redemption. What all the others together, all the other saints together, were not able to obtain, Our Lady obtained, the Sovereign Queen of heaven and earth obtained, who conquered first within herself, her Creator, and then the fullness of all the goods that Our Lady was asking for her children, for the others. And being the conqueror, Our Lady had the virtue of being able to impetrate, to beg, to plead, to bring about and give the good that Our Lady possessed. See, the saints who love Our Lady, were the greatest of all the saints. Because this goodness that was in Our Lady was also, she gave birth, if you want to say, to this goodness in those souls. This is why it's so good to be Catholic. You have the fullness of faith. You have our dogma and doctrine. We have the tradition of the church. We have, sacred scripture. We have Our Lady, Mother and Queen, as our mother. So Jesus wants now for us to begin to live this abundant life. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to put down those other books. They might be beautiful. You might learn something, but it's not the life of Jesus that's being breathed into you. Do you see the difference? Jesus, as you read these truths, it changes you. It transmutes you. It's more than a transfusion of blood of Jesus into you. It's his life is coming alive in you. He is the word. When he said fiat lux, everything was created. The universe was created. When Our Lady said fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. Now with a fiat voluntas tua, when we say fiat, may your kingdom come and reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. Everything changes. The word of God, Jesus Christ, speaks these words, manifests these words. And as we read them, as we study them, as we put them into practice, our lives are no longer ours. If you want to say when you read from books, that's your life, as much as you want or as little as you want, what you're learning. I'm going to put this into practice. I'm going to learn from the saints how to do this. That's nice. It's beautiful. It's saintly. It's good. It's holy. but it's done on a human level. When you read the book of heaven, it's a divine level. Got to get that through your pea brain. This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful that as you read, Jesus is doing this. He says it. He manifests it. You see the good that was in Our Lady, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God that was in the Immaculate Conception, that formed the Immaculate Conception, is she could conquer God. Why? God sees, when we look at Our Lady, we see God. Now that might sound strange at first, but she's the God, the invisible God. She's the daughter of the Father. She's the mother of the Son. She's the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. What is manifested to us of how beautiful our God is the mother of God. So Jesus says, there is a great difference, my daughter, between one who asks, that's the saints, and one who possesses, that's Jesus and Mary. The saints would beg God. St. Francis would, you know, he would pray, fast, and do penance. As a matter of fact, when they looked at his bones, they said he starved himself to death. He was so malnourished. And at the end of his life, he called his body Brother Ass. He says, if I had known this was going to happen to you, I wouldn't have done this to you. I'm sorry I did this. So what with us, it's Jesus is saying, I'm going to bring about what I wanted from the beginning, God reigning in humanity, image and likeness of God in humanity. That's why the devil hates us. That's why the angels bow when they see us. They know the divine will is there. They know Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is there. And what they see with Our Lady is the manifestation. My soul magnifies the Lord. And that's what has to happen to us. So Jesus says there's a great difference between one who asks and one who possesses. The saints have asked, how do I do this? What do I do? What do I need to read? What do I need to study to figure this out? And that's the library. To possess the divine will is to read the book of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. That Our Lady possessed the divine will. We are being introduced to the divine will through the book of heaven. The one who asks and does not possess the divine, the one who asks and does not possess the divine life, they ask for the divine life. And that's where we are right now. We want to possess this life. So where are we going? We're going to St. Francis. We're going to St. Teresa Lisieux. Are we going to St. Clair? Are we going to St. Teresa of Avila? Are we going to St. John of the Cross? You're going to be asking all your life because they didn't possess the divine will as the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. They did the due divine will. They were doing the divine will. That's volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Jesus's exterior life. But the interior life of Jesus is found in volume 11 through volume 19, how to live the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, this great outpouring of the Spirit that's coming. And then finally, to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. Who possesses that? Louisa. Louisa alone. That's why we read the book of heaven, because it's not her words. It's the words of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus says, the saints ask by right. The second does it in alms. The first is the those who possess the divine will. They ask by right. It's their right to ask for this. The second, these are the saints, does it by alms. The one who asks as alms is given money, lira at the most, but not entire kingdoms. So the saints get bits and pieces. Like Jesus says, each saint is known for their virtue or virtues, and it's a sliver of the virtue. Like with Maximilian Kolbe, he got the crown of martyrdom. It wasn't the totality of martyrdom. It's what he has accomplished in his life. In the divine will, the crown of martyrdom is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. And who possessed that? It was Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So by right, we have this life of Jesus and Mary. If we're really focusing on Jesus and Mary, listening to Jesus and Mary as they teach us these lessons, these truths, these manifestations, this is why the library of the divine will is each word that Jesus speaks. It's a library. It's infinite. And as we read it, this is why as you read something 10 years ago in the divine will and you read it again, it's more beautiful. Why? It's Jesus expanding his understanding of this word that he speaks. And it fills everything and everyone, past, present, and future. So Jesus says, the one who asks by right possesses. The one who asks by right, who possesses this kingdom, is already the owner, already the queen. And the one who is queen can be given the kingdom because she is queen. And she has her divine empire before God to be able to impetrate the kingdom for humanity. So the one by right is Our Lady and our Lord, the king and queen that's breathed this life into Louisa. Now, what Jesus goes on to say after this is, you, Louisa, are the newborn of the new Adam, of the new Eve. You are the newborn of this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all of humanity. So it's very, very clear that what God is asking of us is to have this life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And Jesus says, those children who are the new, who live in the kingdom, are the new little kings, little queens of the kingdom. And they can give it to others. Our Lady says to Louisa, I am the queen, but where are my children? Why aren't they like me? Why aren't they one with me? And what is that? Those children are not living in the divine will as Our Lady does, as our Lord does. God wants us to be in God's image and likeness. And the perfect humans, Jesus and Mary, that's what we're going to enter into. This new and divine way of holiness that's coming, not just for us, but for all of humanity. It's very, very close. And when we see everything falling apart, thank God. Thank you, Lord. Let's get to what you wanted from the beginning. Let's get back to paradise. Let's get back to living this abundant life of God. Jesus, and he says, Jesus says, I'm manifesting to you is my life that comes alive in you. It's not just to be about being good and holy and saintly. That's the problem today is people want to be good, holy, and saintly. We want to be perfected as our Heavenly Father is perfect. How do you do this? Jesus says, I'll give you the book of heaven. I'll give you this gospel of the kingdom. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 24? Until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. This is what's coming. The new and divine way of holiness. Again, we're going to go through some bumpy roads, but the main thing is the kingdom. The kingdom is coming, and the kingdom begins within us by being peaceful, joyful, and happy. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity. To the point of one day, no more sin. That's what's coming. The kingdom, to be one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through the little newborn Louisa. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.